Afternoon, guys. We will start with the broadcast section. That's got no embargo, followed by an embargo section. No live tweeting during the broadcast section, please. And for those in the broadcast section, please use the microphone provided. Rob.
Ange, afternoon. It's been a tricky run in terms of the injuries that have piled up for your team, results-wise as well. Just wonder what you've learnt about the character and the mentality of your group over the last few weeks, and also maybe the ability too of guys like GLSL, who had been a periphery figure for quite a long time.
Yeah, look, it's fair to say, not by design, but you kind of test all these things through tough periods, and we've certainly been through one and still, in many respects, going through it now. But I've been really pleased with the players' application commitment to sort of what we're trying to do. And like you said, guys have got an opportunity to, which maybe they wouldn't have got otherwise. And, performance level in the last four games has been pretty good, probably Wolves aside in terms of the kind of football we want to play. Obviously, the results haven't. So, it's still, an area we need to kind of improve. But like I said, with everything we've gone through, we've certainly, like you said, you discover things. And from my perspective, the main thing is that I've been pleased with, like I said, the application and the determination for the players to kind of keep going.
Christian Romero comes back tomorrow from suspension. How much do you feel you've missed him? And have you had to have a chat about just the need maybe to try and curb the odd rush of blood that he gets?
Firstly, yeah, great to have him back because, I mean, he's the only, bizarrely, he's the only recognised centre-back we have fit at the moment because obviously Mickey van der Veen and Eric Dyer and Ashley Phillips, all first team are all sort of out. So just to have him as a sort of recognised centre-back back in the team is good, but he's also a fantastic player. He's a leader in the group. Obviously, when we lost Matters and him after the Chelsea game, a lot of that sort of fell on Sonny's shoulders. So from a leadership perspective, good to get him back. And I haven't had to have a sort of a word to him about it. He's, it's part of who he is as a player. He brings a physicality to it. He knows when he oversteps the mark that we all, not apart from him, the whole group pays a price, and it's up to him to sort of maintain the discipline that I know he can show. But more importantly, like I said, he's such a really strong presence on the field and during the week. So really happy to have him back.
James Maddison was speaking in an interview that came out yesterday, and he described his injury as a slow burner. Is January, do you think, a realistic target still, or might it be longer?
Yeah, I'm not sure about James's medical qualifications and whether whether we should go with his diagnosis on these kind of things. So I'll leave it to the medical team. As far as I know, it's going along okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Becky.
Hi, Ange. You played West Ham in pre-season. I appreciate it was probably one of the first games that you were in charge of. Can you take anything from that game to prepare for this, or was it simply too long ago in a different space?
A lifetime ago, yeah. No, I don't think so. But, obviously, we've been following him and we scout him like any other team. And, you kind of know with, particularly with David, he's been a presence in this Premier League for such a long time because he always presents teams that are very, very competitive. So you're going to have to be at your best if you want to get something out of a game against any of sort of David's teams. And, they've got some real quality and threats in their side. It's a bit different from pre-season. For us and for them was a totally different sort of backdrop to what we were doing. So, we're going to have to play at our best levels tomorrow to get something out of the game, and that's a challenge for us, and we'll be ready for it.
And you said you've been pleased with the application of your players during this period of injury. After getting a draw against Man City, do you notice that there's an upturn in attitude in terms of just a spring in the step, or is it fairly consistent with the team, whether with the results, whether they win or lose?
No. I mean, you look, they're human beings. They feel, we weren't happy with the three losses. That it does affect players, not I guess their confidence, but just their general demeanour, because with every loss you kind of get a little bit more sort of focused on the results. We're not overjoyed at getting a draw, so it's not about that. It's more about, I guess, the manner in which we went about it that's given them a little bit, more belief in what we're trying to do, because, in the second half I thought we showed some real resilience in terms of sticking to the kind of team we want to be to try and get something from a game. It's always going to be difficult anyway. So I think, you know, the sort of the upturn in any sort of feelings they have is coming more from that than the result. But we just try and stay consistent in our approach that, you know, the end game for us is to play the game a certain way, and we've just got to keep focusing on hitting those levels.
Thanks, Ange.
Thank you.
If you could pass it down to Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, yeah.
You mentioned there about Dyer sort of being out. Could you just give a team news update?
Obviously Christian's available. Nothing from the other night in terms of anyone disrupting this preparation. And from the guys out, Pape's back training probably tomorrow, maybe a bit too soon for him. But Sunday, I'm pretty sure he'll be available. Richie got 5 minutes the other day, and he's still fairly short in his physical, where he is physically. But in terms of the injury, felt pretty good. So again, he's available. All the rest, don't expect to see back for a while, I'd say.
Including Eric, even?
At this stage, because he hasn't trained for over a week now, and they're sort of still working on the issue. So I assume, even when he does come back, he'll need a bit of time to get back up to speed.
What is his...
It's a groin issue.
It's a groin. I just want to talk about the kind of fringe players, in inverted commas, who've come in and stepped up. How gratifying is to see that? Because often at Spurs the last few years, that hasn't quite happened.
Well, it's been important because, like I said, out of necessity, they've got an opportunity, and sometimes in that kind of scenario, you're very reliant on their ability to kind of come in and, not sort of disrupt the flow of what we're trying to do too much. But, I was, as much as by necessity, I was always heartened by the fact that they're training every day, guys like Gio and Brian Gill and even someone like Ben Davis, who hasn't had a lot of game time. They've been training well. Emerson has been training well. We're obviously asking them to do a little bit of a different role, which is another challenge. But again, I come back to, their application, their determination to sort of just try and play our football has been the key to that. And, as I keep saying, look, Wolves aside, I think our level of performance has been pretty good considering what we've had to go through so far.
To show as well how important it is to keep those people engaged, even if they're not getting the minutes they want.
Yeah, well, look, I've always been that way. If you come and watch our training session, there's no one who's standing on the sideline. Everyone is involved. We gear our training sessions around the numbers we have. We don't sort of focus on one group over another, and it's for that reason. I think it's important that whether you're a player or a staff member, you need to feel like you're valued, you're part of something, and sometimes the guys who aren't sort of playing or haven't had an opportunity to play, their only chance to show what they can do is a training. So we've got to give them that platform, and I think that's helped us through this period.
Ian.
Hi, Ange, hope you're well.
Thanks.
Richarlison coming back 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, he had his surgery, and as you say, he got 5 minutes or so at Man City, available for West Ham. Does that show how determined he is and how maybe he's got over his problems from earlier in the season, that he wants to be back playing in your team straight away?
Yeah, look, I think, Richie, to be fair to him, he was struggling with it from the start of the season, but, from our point of view and the medical team's point of view, it was one that we thought we could sort of persist with until we got a good chance to sort of get some work on it. But it kind of, by the end of it, he was really struggling, even at training, so... even though it wasn't great timing for us, because it came at a time when we lost a lot of other players, we just felt, we needed to sort of, that he needed intervention from a medical perspective. And he's worked hard with the medical team, the sports science staff, to be available. And, talking to him and watching him, he feels a lot better in terms of that aspect of it. But like I said, he's missed a fair bit of training in that 3-4 weeks. So we just got to do some work with him over the next couple of weeks to get him back up to speed, because, again, we've got a fair few games and, we've been a little bit limited with how we can change things up during a game in the front third. So, having him available, either to start or to come onto a game is going to be invaluable.
Won a lot of plaudits for the way you played at Manchester City on Sunday. West Ham are a very...
After the game.
Yeah, after the game.
Yeah.
And before the game.
Yeah.
West Ham, very different animal to City. They're a team that decides to come onto them and hit them on the counter. Mm. Is that more dangerous in a way for your side and your philosophy?
No, I think it's equally. I mean, I just think with all these challenges, there's the biggest sort of obstacle is, you know, ourselves, in terms of we need to hit certain levels irrespective of what the opposition may bring to it, because the kind of game style we have, we're very reliant on how, you know, we roll out the kind of football we want to play, because it's not so much about, you know, stopping an opposition, it's whether we can impose ourselves on oppositions, and all of them have got threats, you know, both with and without the ball, that we've got to be wary of. So the challenge is the same. The challenge is about us, you know, making sure that we hit the levels we need to then be able to play the game we want to. So it's a Premier League. Every game, you know, you see it at the moment. There aren't many that, you know, are kind of easy games for any team. You know, home or away, they're all pretty tight. And I've got no doubt tomorrow night will be a real good challenge for us.
And you pretty much played, by the odd week or so, once a week. How are you looking forward to, how much do you enjoy the relentlessness of December, where there's, what, 10 games, 9-10 games for you, and you're probably pretty much never going to see your family, and it's going to be all football?
I don't know about not seeing my family. It's been, I'm not sure what your family life's like, mate. I like seeing mine. Having said that, they're off to Australia for some warmer weather on the weekend. That aside, look, I think for us, you know, having the game a week, I know people have said is kind of, you know, in some ways been an advantage. I understand that, but I've also felt it's been a little bit of a disadvantage, because we've had a lot of players, particularly at the start of the year, who hadn't had a lot of football that we all of a sudden had to throw in, you know, whereas if we'd had midweek games, you know, even in Europe, you're forced to kind of give guys opportunities. So, yeah, the flip side of that is we're still very thin on numbers. So, you know, the three games this week will test us. But, you know, like I said, getting Romero back, having Richie available, hopefully Pape Sarr on the weekend, that gives us some more numbers. And at least the guys who haven't had a lot of football recently or at the beginning of the year, like Benny and Emerson and Gio and Brian Gill, are now up to speed. Even Brennan Johnson, you know, he's getting a clean run of games. So looking forward to it. I mean, it's two big games for us, particularly at home, and particularly after the results we've had recently, that we need to perform at a good level to get the results we need.
Hi, Ange. Just want to ask you about Guillermo Vicario. Obviously getting a lot of praise for what he's doing with his hands, his saves, but with his feet, he seems to be getting better and better. How pleased are you with that, and how much work has someone like Rob Birch had to put into that, or was it something he always had?
I think a combination of all those things. Yeah, I think what you look for, or I look for in a goalkeeper, is above anything else is temperament, because that's what you're going to need to play sort of the football we want. That you're not going to be sort of, you know, too on edge as, you know, with respect to game state or what's happening at that moment. You have to stay really clear-headed, and I saw that, you know, from the very first time we scouted him, just how sort of clear-headed he is as a personality. And you know, you saw it last week where, you know, we, especially in the first half, we gave the ball away a lot in that sort of back third, but, you know, he persisted, and to be honest, he was a big part of sort of why we got to grips with the second half, because, you know, he persisted and he made some really good decisions for us to play out. Rob's done a lot of work with him for sure, and that's helped him, but the bulk of it is down to him, you know, that he's got the temperament and, like I said, the willingness to play this way and sort of not shy away from it, just because, you know, at times it can be challenging. And, you know, he's a big part of sort of the way we set up, particularly, you know, with the ball.
And just going back to discipline briefly, Destiny Doggy, I think, is on 4 yellow cards now. Obviously, Christian, if he gets another straight red, it would be 4-match ban for him. You mentioned there about the effect that has on the group as well, more than the thing. Is that something that you have to police in that regard, make them aware of how it affects the rest of the group, or do the players kind of naturally do that?
It's a combination of both. I mean, look, it's, you know, some of it, you know, they're defenders, they're in that position, and sometimes, you know, I think Destiny's been unlucky a couple of times, but, you know, at the same time, you need that part of your game to be there as a defender, particularly in the Premier League. You know, you're facing some really, you know, some of the best strikers in the world and attacking players, and, you know, part of their, you know, what they bring to the game is the physicality. I mean, Destiny's, particularly for a fullback, he's so quick, but he's so powerful, and we don't want to take that away from him. But there is a, like I said, there is a broader consequence for those kind of things. And you know, when you talk about discipline, it's not just about not getting yellow or red cards. It's just discipline in approach in terms of, you know, the way we're playing, the way you kind of behave on a football field. All those kind of things make a difference. So, you know, again, it's not something, you know, I said a couple of weeks ago, I think it's been an area that we need to improve. But I'm not just talking about yellow and red cards. Discipline is also, there's been times this year, particularly in the last couple of home games, where we've started really well and we've lost our way because we've just got, you know, a little bit ahead of ourselves in not just, like I said, the yellow-red cards, but even in terms of the way we're playing our football.
Last one from me. Just Ryan Sessegnon, the club put out a little kind of video today of some of his progress and work he's been doing. How's he doing, not only physically but mentally with this, because it's been a long recovery period for him? And also, how cautious do you have to be with him?
Yeah, all those things. I think, you know, it's the hardest thing for any footballer. You talk to any footballer and, you know, sometimes they feel when they're not playing or they're not getting selected is the worst time, or if they're having a bad trot in the team, you know, bad form, it's the worst time. But the worst time is when you can't do what you love and you can't, you know, be part of the group, because, again, you know, if you talk to players who retire, the thing they miss the most is just that being in a dressing room as part of something. And when you're doing rehab, particularly like Sess has been doing, like I said, it's a bit like Rodrigo. It's a fairly lonely existence, and he's had to put in, you know, he's had some real bad luck. But he's still working away, you know, he's still, you know, positive in terms of his outlook. But we will have to be cautious with him. And I think the medical team, rightly so, because he's had kind of a number of setbacks. And, you know, you want to give him every chance to sort of, when he does come back, to stay back. So, you know, he's one we're not putting any timelines on. We'll be guided by the medical team and by him, more importantly.
George, to finish this section, please.
Hi, Ange. Just with Romero, has he been this last month, obviously not playing but training, has he been sort of person you want in training to prepare the team as best as possible?
Yeah, look, his training's been good. He's been frustrated because, you know, particularly, I guess, yeah, not just the fact that he's missed out, but he's understood the situation we've been in. You know, it's not like he was the only one missing. You know, all of a sudden, post the Chelsea game, there was, you know, we lost Mickey, we lost Destiny, we lost, you know, pretty much our whole back four, and then we lost Matters, and sort of he knows that, you know, how important he is. So I think he was frustrated. I mean, he had the international week, which is probably good for him because he got a couple of games in there and he got away from here. But he's been ready to go the last sort of week. He's trained really well, and I know he's happy, and I know the rest of the group's happy to have him back in.
And obviously you mentioned Eric being out for this week at least. You've obviously got Emerson as an option, Ben Davis, but also Alfie Dorrington. Are you sort of looking to him to kind of show you during the week that if someone's needed, that he can come on?
Yeah, well, he's been in the squad the last 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. So, yeah, Alfie and, you know, Jamie got on. You know, they're training with us now. They're part of the first team. So they have a chance every day to sort of, you know, show what they can do and be available. And as I said, at the moment, we are really thin on defensive numbers. So, you know, he may very well get an opportunity over the next couple of weeks.
And obviously a pleasing result at the weekend in terms of coming back Man City, but still four without a win. You're a manager that's used to winning. How much is that sort of eating at you, or are you sort of battling that by thinking about the bigger picture?
Look, you treat it the same way. It's like I said, I don't like losing. It doesn't sit well with me. I like winning. But, you know, for me, like I said, last week was not about just sort of getting a result there. It's the manner in which you do it, because just a result by any means, I've been in that position before. It doesn't fulfill you any more than sort of, you know, losing a game of football. You know that it's not going to last. So for me, that's been more important. And whilst yes, it has been three losses and the draw last week, I still think our performances, as I keep saying, are the most important thing that kind of sustains you through that period where you're going, all right, not happy we're not winning, but at least I'm seeing the team sort of still performing and trying to play the football. And you've got to take it in context that, you know, like I said, we're going through a rough trot in terms of playing personnel.
Okay, we'll move on to the embargoed section for 10:30 p.m. tonight. Matt?